As we continue the life of Elisha, we are looking at him and the transition from Elijah as the prophet of God to Elisha as God's prophet. I said there are three words that I wanted to look at in Elisha crossing Jordan. First, his loyalty. And we looked the last week in 2 Kings chapter 2 where it says, "As the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you." And we saw him as he said that at Bethel, at Jericho, and as he was crossing the Jordan River. And we saw that in our lives we need to be loyal to our Lord and Savior, loyal to our God, and loyal to the relationships that God has given us in our church families, to our spouses, and to our family. And so we looked at loyalty. And the second and third words that we want to look at are second, faith, and third, being persistent. So we wanted to look at first loyalty, and tonight we'll begin looking at faith, and our goal is to finish off by looking at persistence. So as we think about this, and as we have our Bibles open to 2 Kings chapter 2, we see in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 6 that Elijah and Elisha come to the Jordan, and this is what transpires. It says, "Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me onto the Jordan.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was that when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, 'Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?' Elisha said, 'Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me.' So he said, 'You have asked a hard thing. If you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so.' And it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen.' So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, 'Where is the Lord God of Elijah?' And when he had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over." God often uses us as instruments to convey his supernatural power to the world. We pray, and God does miraculous things. And we see him at work in our life, and an essential part of God answering our prayers and doing the unthinkable in our lives is that we live a life of faith. And faith is something that we choose to have in God. We are tested in our faith, and as our faith is tested, it grows, and we are to turn around and to reproduce our faith in others that come after us. And as we look here at Elijah and his faith in a miracle-working God as he comes to the Jordan River, takes his mantle and slaps the ground and the Jordan River parts. The same thing happens as that mantle is passed on to Elijah. The spirit of Elijah, the faith of Elijah. Elijah, a man of faith, who is a man just like us, the book of James says. He prayed to God, and God answered his prayers in a miraculous way. And our faith will be tested. And as our faith is tested and we rely on God and we give our faith to Him, our faith will grow and it will mature. And then our faith is to be passed on to others. It's Mother's Day, so I have to talk about my mother, right? And my son, I'm going to talk about him too. Today, he turned 16, and I'm very, very, very proud of my son. I am so excited to see the man that God is turning him into. I enjoy watching him at sporting events and him watching him in school. I wish you could see his schoolwork. As a dad, I am very proud of his schoolwork. I have had many, many students, but I see an engineering brain in that young man like none I've ever seen before. And he's very talented. But tomorrow, I think I'm a little bit more excited than he is because I'm going to take him to the Department of Motor Vehicles tomorrow. So if you call me and I don't answer tomorrow night, you'll know what I am doing. We are out and we are driving. But I got to tell you about my mom. If we could go back and get the car that we had when I was 16 and when my brother was 16, probably on the passenger side, you could probably still see my mother's fingernail indentations. And on the floor where the brake pedal is, the carpet's missing probably. Because she was, and many of you mothers, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And my mother, she said, "Oh, Scott," many, many, many times. It was so much better when Dad was with me. I told that to Silas, and Silas said, "Dad, Mom, I'm only driving with Dad. I don't want what happened to Grandma and you to happen to me." And so that's what I'm looking forward to. And when you're 16, there's some times where it's a struggle to learn to drive. And you have to be tested. You have to be tried a little bit. And you got to grow. You got to have those first few experiences. I have to tell on my father too. Because if I don't, my daughter's going to pretty soon. Right before I turned 16, right before I got my permit, Dad took me over to the college to drive. And we lived at the next road over from the college. I'm telling him, my dad, he's in trouble now. But we were driving around the college, and he was teaching me to drive. And he's like, "You got to be ready. You got to be ready." And we parked in parking spots, and I got to drive around. And Dad said, "Okay, Scott, you can drive home." "Dad, I don't have my permit." It's like, "Oh, you'll be on Front Street for 2 seconds. And if you know where we live, it's you go out of Front Street, turn left, and turn left in about 100 feet. I was like, he said, "You can do it. Just don't ever tell your mother." Did you know that story? So I think that was the night before I got my permit, and I'll never forget that moment with Dad, because it was like him passing on that driving mantle to me. You know what I mean? And I'd always watched my dad, and I learned from my dad, and I spent a lot of times growing with my mom. And as I look at Elijah, and as he gets that mantle passed on, as I look at Elisha, and as he gets that mantle passed on from Elijah, it was a big deal. Just think about all the responsibility that Elisha was going to receive, getting a double portion from his master. Now, it's also not like Elijah took the first guy off the street and said, "You're going to replace me, I'm going to pass my mantle on to you, and you will be God's prophet." Elisha had been being God's servant behind Elijah for a long time. And over the last few weeks, if you haven't been here, we've looked at how he was responsible for being the servant to the prophets. He was responsible for washing their hands. He had lowly tasks. We read in John chapter 13, as Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, that what you need to be a growing, productive member of Christ's kingdom, is to be humble. We know that the Bible says that the first will be last and the last will be first. And if you want to be greatest in God's kingdom, you need to first serve. And that's what Elisha was doing. His faith had been being tested and was growing. And now in 2 Kings chapter 2, it's time for his faith to continue to grow. The next couple of days, my son's driving abilities are going to be tested a few times. And the reason we're doing that is so he can grow. And he's got to learn. And you can probably remember your first time merging onto the highway when you were 16 or 17 and the butterflies that went up into your stomach. And in our faith, in our spiritual journey, our faith needs to be tested. And we need to learn to grow in our faith. It's interesting that this first supernatural event of many to follow in Elisha's life is similar to what happened at the Red Sea. As the children of Israel exited Egypt on their way to the Promised Land. We're going to talk about, and I want to encourage you, next week our word is persistence. And we're going to look at Elijah's going up into heaven and Elisha's part of it. I am super excited. Tomorrow is the 70th anniversary of the nation of Israel becoming a nation. Isaiah chapter 66 prophesied that that would happen in a day. And it did, just the way the Bible said it would. Surprise, surprise. And here we are 70 years later looking at, and we can visually see a testament of God's working in his chosen people over in the Middle East. And it's very interesting that in the last couple of days, we see God's hand directing kings and moving things around in the way that he wants it to. And I think we take this opportunity where we look at a testament of what God has done. 70 years that the nation of Israel has been a nation after 2,000 years of not being a nation. A thing like that is unheard of in the world, and the hand of God is behind it. But it's time for us to take notice and to say, if God is the same God that can do that and fulfills his word, he will fulfill his word when he returns for his church.
Amen.
And the Lord is returning soon for the body of Christ, and we need to be ready. And it won't be long, and we need to be faithful to the end. God came back when when the children of Israel needed him the most when they were in Egypt. And he moved and worked in a great and mighty way to part the Red Sea so that they could be delivered. And God's people are anxiously awaiting his imminent return. And I can't wait. And let your faith be tested today, because the Lord is returning tomorrow. And today's the day to grow your faith. So as we look at this, it's important that we know, if you desire an increase in your faith, then you must consent to having your faith tested. Let's look at a few passages of Scripture that talk about a tested faith. The first verse we want to look at is Romans chapter 5. I love the book of Romans. It's a hard book to read sometimes. It's got some great passages. We know about the Romans Road, and we're very familiar with that. But it tests us. It tries us. And we learn a lot from it. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." It's very important that if you are facing trials right now in your life, testings, situations, maybe you feel like you're drowning and you don't know where you will find the air. Maybe it feels like you have the weight of the world on your shoulders. Maybe sin that has crept into your life or into the lives of those of people around you feel like they're making your world come crashing down. Know that your faith is not tested without purpose. It is kind of a joke that Christians have. Don't pray for patience, because then God will test you. And it's kind of a joke that we, you know, you can pray for things, but don't pray for patience, because then God's going to test your faith. I think we need to look at it as we have tribulations in our lives. We have testings. We have problems in our lives. And so many people are going through similar things, but often we feel as if we're going it alone. We have a Lord and Savior who has already handled these things, has already won the victory, and he's using these circumstances and events to grow you into a responsible ambassador of his kingdom. Because when you have an ambassador for the kingdom, you want them to be a worthy, tried, and competent ambassador. You don't want to send someone into... could you imagine if I grabbed anyone in this room and sent them over to defuse the situation in North Korea today? How would that go over? Probably not. Don't send me, okay? And probably you'd say, don't send me either. And could you imagine somebody that doesn't know Korean going and facing that situation? Or maybe to defuse what's going on in Syria. If it were most of us, probably by Monday there'd be nuclear weapons being fired in all directions. You want your ambassador to be prepared for the battle. And how an ambassador becomes prepared for the battle for the kingdom of God is through testing and trials. So if you are facing testing and trials, understand this word, this passage. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Let me also add this. We talked about loyalty in the last few weeks. We talked about how it's important that we are loyal to our God, that we are loyal to our church members. If you are facing trials and tribulations, pick up the phone and call believers in Jesus Christ in this church. And maybe, if you don't know who to call, call Pastor Dan, call myself. Say, I don't know who to call. And Pastor Baker, I know you've heard this one. I don't want to be a bother. You know exactly what I'm talking about. All right. You know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't want to bother us, we know someone that would enjoy the privilege of being your prayer partner. And that's people in this church. And there are many of you who are a testament that when you have problems, you know that there are people in this church who are willing, ready, and to prepared to and counted a privilege to pray for you and to check on you and to encourage you. And I know that there are people that are doing that. And that's the loyalty of the body of Christ. And I encourage you to look for those people to help you through these trying and times of trials and tribulations. I'd like us to turn over in our Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." If you are facing trials, know that God is doing something in your life. He is working to grow you and to conform you to the image of his Son. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing for the believer to be molded and to be fashioned by the Creator of this planet. To be molded into the image of his Son, transformed into a functioning member of his kingdom. And I think we need to look over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, to see how beautiful of a thing that is. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. As we look at this, we look at Romans and we look at James. We see God is growing your faith to make you and to conform you into the image of his Son. It's that testing, it's that trying of your faith that grows your faith, that matures your faith. But here in 1 Peter chapter 3, we see just how beautiful a thing the completed project is. You know, look at that boardroom. This just kind of came to me. That boardroom. You know, I didn't think it looked too bad when we first started working on the bell tower. I didn't think it looked too bad. And then I had the boys come and they helped me start taking the bookshelves out, and we could see what was hiding behind the bookshelves, the part of the wall that wasn't painted. And then stuff got taken out of there and it was like, oh boy. Then they said, let's remodel it. And they went in, started tearing down the walls. Those were some trials and some backaches, right guys? You got some, went home with backaches a few days working on that. And after a while, it was a mess in there, right? And you remember going in there, and I remember going in there, and I've got pictures on my phone. I thought it was kind of neat to see where, like, the old windows were and to see the old framing and that rough-cut lumber and stuff. And I this is rough. And then they begin to work on it. It's not completed yet, but it's so much more of a beautiful thing than it was. And hopefully in our relationship, there may be some of you who look like the project did before it started. You look pretty good, but we know what's hiding underneath the surface. Maybe some of you, you're right at the beginning of the teardown part of what God's doing in your life. And the walls have been torn off and you feel vulnerable. We can see the rough cut lumber and we can see the mistakes and everything has been laid bare for everybody to see. And it's time for the rebuilding process to begin. And maybe some of you in this room, I know I'm not there, you're at the place where that room is now. Looks pretty good, but it's not the finished product. God's been working on your heart. You're becoming more like his Son. But I hope we talked about what the finished product in there is going to look like. And I'm excited to see it. And we know what the finished product that God has for you. And it's right here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. And this is a beautiful thing. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Finished product. And it's a beautiful thing. Can you wait for God to have that completed product in your life, the job finished, and you're standing before him the way he has intended you to be forever? That's why we face the trials now. It's coming, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. The picture presented in Scripture is of a God who is always moving, always working, always molding, growing His church, growing His kingdom. The hard part for us is to let go of our fears, to let God test our faith, and to let Him move in our hearts and make us more like His Son. God is not predictable as He begins to tear down the walls. Some of the things that are coming, we have no idea what He's going to be doing. And when they happen, and when the trials of life come pouring down on us, it's important that we understand that a relationship with Jesus Christ is not a safe thing. He's going to test your faith. Trials are going to come, but there's a purpose in the trials. He has a plan and He has a finished product in mind, and you've got to let Him work in your life to get there. God's not a spectator in your life. He wants to be an active participant, guiding you through the trials and temptations and testing of your faith to conform you into the image of His Son. Let Him work. Faith should be spelled R-I-S-K. Risk. Because we're laying it all out for God to allow trials and temptations into our life. We're going to let Him see our heart and all the rough stuff and all the mistakes and all the things in there. And we're going to expose that to Him. But when we do that and we allow God to work it out in our life and we step out in faith, He will grow us in our faith. I'd like us to look at one more passage of Scripture tonight. And that's Romans 8, 31 to 39. Romans 8, 31 to 39. In Romans 8, 31, it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall we not with Him also freely give, will give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Trials are going to be a part of our life. And the trials are going to be something that's going to test your faith. But the purpose is that we can see God at work in our life. And the love of Christ, which works in our lives and conforms us into the image of God's Son, will prove us to be more than conquerors of those trials. And God will conform us into what he intends us to be. And according to that passage we saw in 1 Peter chapter 1, it's a beautiful thing. And we ought to long for that, and we ought to desire it. And so if you're facing trials and tribulations, persecutions today, let God work. Let him move. The day of heaven is coming fast. Let's let him prepare us for our heavenly home and to serve him here on earth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for trying our faith. I thank you that you work in us, you choose to challenge us. And Lord, Elisha came to that Jordan River. A mantle was being passed to him. And as it was, his first step of faith was that he had to take that mantle of Elijah, strike the Jordan River, and watch you work. Lord, our faith is going to be tested this week. And I pray that you might help us to step out in faith, to watch you work, and to watch you conform our lives to the image of your Son. Help us to be faithful ambassadors for your kingdom this week. Might we glorify you in all that we do. Bless us tonight, in Jesus' name, amen.